What's up, what's up? Welcome to 100% Real Talk, man. Cigar talk, that is. All right, man. 100% Real Cigar Talk, man. Once again, you know what I'm saying? We just doing that thing, keeping it 100, straight from the heart. No cut, no nothing on it. Just 100% Real Talk. Back here with MCM and Mr. Marcus as our host. We got another guest. I'm going to let Marcus introduce him to him.
Today we have a great guest on from the area as well. We have Officer Dylan. So we definitely want to shout out to Mr. Dylan for coming in, spending some of his time with us and kind of just giving some knowledge from his background as well. So we'll definitely take the time and just get to know Officer Dylan real quick, and also just get to know him as a man as well, and, you know, see what he has to give us and what he has to offer to us as well. First thing is first, man, we'd definitely like for you to kind of just give like a quick background, your name, your hometown, and just a small background about yourself before we go in a little deeper.
Okay, so my name is Dylan Malone. I'm a police officer here in Baldwin County. Don't specify what city.
Yeah.
But just a little bit about me. I was born and raised in Mobile, Alabama. Some situations arose with my parents. Dad did some time in prison, so I got removed from that situation early on. I got brought to Baldwin County. I resided in Spanish Fort for a little while. I was high school Spanish Fort before I moved on to adulthood. Just a little bit of background about me. It's just, I grew up with a lot of trust issues. Still in my profession now, in law enforcement, I got a lot of trust issues, and as y'all see on the news day in and day out, not every officer you can trust. So with me having a background, my parents with trust issues, rolling over into law enforcement having trust issues, sometimes it can create a toxic environment, a toxic situation.
Definitely.
So I try to surround myself with people who are kind of like me, that's been through situations and got through those situations, because I know if you ain't never been through nothing, how can I trust what you're telling me?
Yeah.
So basically that's just a little bit about me.
Okay. You also mentioned that this is off air, but you also mentioned that you're into the financial management class
yes,
as well.
Yes,
you have
yes.
A podcast that you're doing as well.
Kind yes.
Tell everybody about that and where you can.
So right now I do a little financial thing on Instagram. It's ill_deal_theprofit on Instagram, and basically what it is the advice I'm giving, because I have a degree in financial management. And finance, I give it for free. I don't charge anybody. The information I drop on my Instagram is people are charging $700 to $1,000 for this information. And one of the small tidbits I can give you is, like, I love the game of Monopoly. So if you think about life, exactly. If you play Monopoly and you never buy any of the stuff you land on, mm-hmm. you just going through life collecting $200 and you paying somebody else. So that's the thing, especially with black culture and us as a people. We quick to go out and buy. I got some on now. We quick to go stand in line for Jordans. Yeah. We quick to go stand in line for, you know, the latest concert, or we quick to, you know, just go blow our paycheck, or we get income taxes and we go blow it. We go buy a piece of crap car that break down on us in 2 or 3 months instead of doing our research. And like I was telling you earlier, like ignorance, like, I mean, it's not an excuse nowadays. Everybody got a smartphone.
Yeah.
Everybody got a smartphone.
Yeah.
So. And that's one reason why, like I told you earlier a little bit, like in our culture, we have that misconception mm-hmm. of hustling. Like, I got 3-4 jobs. I got, you know, 2-3 jobs. I'm out here getting it. But are you? You know, mm-hmm. you work in 2 or 3 jobs, you ain't got nothing to show for it.
Definitely.
You work in 2 or 3 jobs, but your kids barely see you.
Yeah.
So if you always trade like your most precious gift, which is time, because mm-hmm. we all gonna go sometime. Look at Kobe. Kobe was 41 years old.
Yeah.
Chadwick Boseman was, he was right there at 40. You never know. That's one thing we all got to come at. We all going to die at some point. We don't know when. So you got to cherish the time you got. And one way to cherish more time is to become more financially stable, more financially sound.
Definitely.
I agree with you. 100%.
Definitely. I appreciate that. So now, just moving into the first topic, and always the first topic, we like to talk about our success story. So, you know, you're having a successful story. You're having a life that you can kind of bring to the table as well. First off, is what does it mean to be successful in your eyes, and how did you know when you were successful?
I think success is definitely defined differently for everybody. As a kid, you know, you want to be successful in school, you want to be successful in sports. When you become a young man, you might define success as finding that career job or having that nice car or finding the nice woman. But I think success is based off of, you know, everybody's different. Mm-hmm. So when I figured out, like, I was successful, I don't find myself to be successful right now if I'm not done. Like, I don't think success has a timeline. Mm-hmm. I think success, yeah. You have milestones. Yeah. Like, I want to be here by 30, I want to be here by 35, but yeah. you can have, like, okay, now I got a job, I got a house, I got a wife, I'm successful. Like, I don't think success has a definition. But right now, I look at myself, and I think one key of success is I'm the only man on my dad's side of the family that ain't been to prison. Mm-hmm. So I think that's successful. I was the first one in my family to not have a kid before 16. Mm-hmm. I think that's being successful. You know, I've never been incarcerated. I've never been, you know, drug use, anything like that, or going to jail. I think with the stereotype that we get sometimes as black men, like not being, you know, incarcerated for any period of time, that's a successful. Not saying ones who were incarcerated are not successful, because, I mean, prime example. He could use his time like that as a crutch, but he came out here, he changed lives around, he's doing stuff like this, giving back to the community. So that's a huge success for you.
Yeah.
So I think everybody has to figure out what their path is in life and then try to be successful. I think one of the downsides of these great apps like Instagram, Facebook, all that stuff, is you look into the lives of everybody else.
Definitely.
So nobody's going to show you I don't know if I can curse on here,
yeah.
but nobody's going to show you the bullshit.
Yeah.
They're going to show you, like, okay, they're front. I use this analogy on my financial stuff. I judge people by how their backyard look. Nobody can see it. Nobody can see your backyard.
Sure.
When I drive to your neighborhood, I'm going to see the front of your yard. You'll keep the front of your yard clean because everybody can see it. But anybody can see the bullshit in the back. You can have broke down cars, you ain't cut your grass, you got dogs chained up and everything.
Yeah.
So I think so many people, especially young kids, get the misconception of, I want to be like that. I want to be like that rapper. I want to be like this person on Instagram that got money, that's showing money all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, money don't define success.
No.
Money just makes you a bigger reflection of what you are. If you an asshole broke, you're going to be an asshole with money. If you're a giver broke, you're going to be a giver with money. Mm-hmm. So I think, like, when you say success, like, you personally look yourself in the mirror and be like, how do I want to be remembered? Mm-hmm. Like, what do I want people to know me by? Do I want people to know me by the person that worked hard and gave back? Or do I want people to know me by, like, I'm just out here trying to get it and not do anything else but get it?
Definitely. Yeah.
Nice scenario, man. I like that. The backyard.
Yeah, man. That backyard tell you a lot about folks, man.
Oh, yeah. I feel and I appreciate you coming on, man, because this is a whole new outlook for a lot of young black guys to see that you have a job, man.
Yeah.
You take your job serious, and also that's your income, you know what I'm saying? Some people get this stereotype of officers on this bad term. I mean, y'all got to do a lot of judging, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And you got to protect yourself.
Exactly.
So I appreciate you for coming in and stepping up at this time, man.
Definitely at this time.
I have to tip my hat off to you, man. I appreciate you coming in. So I just wanted to share that with you, man.
Yeah.
All right. So definitely, you mentioned about career. What made you choose this career?
As law enforcement.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I can tell you so many stories. So many stories. But honestly, like the realest reason why I chose this career is I can remember it like it was yesterday. I'm 5 years old. I'm literally five, and it's stuck in my. I can't remember stuff I did in kindergarten. I can remember like a little bit of stuff. But I'm 5 years old. I remember Nintendo 64 had just came out. I was so excited to get, you know, Mario.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom and dad were still together, and I'm sitting there. I'm eating ramen or ramen, however you pronounce it, noodles. Yeah. I'm sitting there just whipping it up, eating, playing my video game. I'm a happy kid. And all of a sudden, the door gets kicked in. I don't know what's going on. I'm thinking it's a joke. Door gets kicked in. It's the Mobile SWAT team. I didn't know it was Mobile at the time. I just knew it was officers. Big cop diesel swole officers with guns and little laser lights on. So I'm like, I'm a kid. I don't know any different. You know, I'm innocent. I'm clapping. I'm thinking it's a joke. Until, you know, they throw me on the ground. My mom comes in, they throw her on the ground. They go into my dad's bedroom and just tear it apart. My dad was always home. Like, he was always home, but we always had money.
Yeah.
So now I realized what he was doing. Back then, I didn't know. I was like, my dad, he's always home. I never wanted for nothing. Mm-hmm. We lived in the hood, but, you know, we had the nicest house in the hood. Everybody came over. I thought my dad was just popular.
Yeah.
I ain't know no different. I'm a kid. I'm ignorant. So the way those officers treated me, my mom, my dad, my sisters in that environment, and you got to think about it, this is, you know, 99. Mm-hmm. Ain't no smartphones. Ain't no, and cell phones ain't the thing. Definitely not. So the way we were treated then, if you, and you look back to even before I was born, the situation with those officers with Rodney King, and then you look at what happened yesterday with George Floyd, like all those situations, like they, I still feel strongly about law enforcement because first of all, I wanted, if I interacted with somebody, it's proven in America, the number one incarcerated race is black people. So if I saw a black kid or a black family out there being mistreated and they could look at someone who looked like them, mm-hmm. who could speak for them. For example, if you got pulled over, somebody that's never met you or dealt with you might take your tattoos to all make say, okay, you a thug. Or they might take you with dreads and say, okay, you're not educated. Definitely. So it's so many officers that you know, they stereotype. And sometimes with law enforcement, you have to stereotype because some things don't fit. If I see, you know, a box Chevy on 23s driving through a gated neighborhood, I might be a little suspicious. Like, okay, I ain't never seen you in here before. Yeah. But at the same time, if you interact with somebody on the road, you just can't assume that because, okay, they Mexican, they illegal. Or if they black, they uneducated. Yeah. So I wanted to bring a different vibe to the city I work in because at the city I work in, I won't say no names, but I'm the only black officer there. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the other white officers that work with me have never interacted with a black person, period. Yeah. Had a conversation, talk to anybody. So how can you police people when you don't interact with people, when you don't know people?
True. Yeah.
So, I mean, if I met you on the street and we just sat there and chopped it up, my whole ideology might change. Oh, yeah. I might be like, okay, skinny dude with tattoos. I mean, I know he probably been in some trouble sometime, but actually you sit down, you have a conversation with this man. He's an educated man.
Yeah.
Same vice versa with you. And sometimes we get these officers too that be like, okay, I stopped this black family. Hey, you come out here and talk to him. I'm like, I'll come down there and I'll be on scene to make them feel a little bit more at ease, but you need to learn how to conversate. Yeah,
you're right.
I mean, govern yourself.
Exactly.
You're right. And I really can relate with that, man, because, you know, before I changed my life, I was in the streets and I had a lot of encounters with that, you know. And now since I'm home and I had one or two encounters, I carry it different. You know, I had one incident on Valentine's Day. I had an officer run up on me after the dude had called me and said, I robbed him. And I'm like, bruh, I just got home.
Yeah, exactly.
He got the wrong dude. Oh, he got gold teeth and a beard. I'm like, a lot of black guys got gold teeth and a beard.
Yeah.
So it's just like, this on Valentine's. So the first thing I did, I called my mom and dad. I said, hey, look. I says, dude called the police on me, said I robbed him. Yeah, they up here at this Winn-Dixie in Pensacola and everywhere, man. I'm like, y'all need to come up here because I ain't going out like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I know a black guy in a sports car had a Challenger at the time with rims and everything. I said, shoot, if I pull off, first thing I'm gonna do is shoot. You know what I'm saying? And they talking about robbery. So
yeah.
Me being educated since I've been gone and coming back, I knew I had to face it. So when I stepped out, I'm like, hey, bro, where you live at? That's what I tell the dude, the white guy. I said, I own the store down there at the U-Haul place. I said, you know where you know me from, man? I said, I rent a U-Haul to go get some furniture from Atlanta. And you told me if I bring the U-Haul right back, you only charge me for one day. And even because I was getting on the weekend. Oh, that's what I know. But then the officer said, well, since you look like that, I want you to go look at the video. I was like, hey, man, the man just told me I'm not the dude.
Yeah, exactly.
I ain't got no other dealing with you. If you want to go look at the video, y'all go look.
I ain't going to associate myself.
And so I really like look into things different now that I'm home dealing with the police officer. When I get pulled over, there's certain things I'm not going to allow happen. But also, you got to be aware that y'all, the officers are scary. Just like, it's so much, the media got so much stuff going on, man.
Yeah.
You really got to govern yourself when you're interacting with someone that's afraid of what they seen on television. Mm-hmm. Now. Because we're not blind. We know that people are cutting up just because they're afraid of what the officer might do. And we know the officer's cutting up because they're afraid what an individual would do.
And one thing is, I ain't trying to get off track, but like at the end of the day, I got to tell folks that I work with, like at the end of the day, when that uniform come off, this badge come off, even when the uniform is on, the badge is on, I'm still a black man.
Mm-hmm.
I can be driving to work in my uniform, because as an investigator, I drive an unmarked car, and a police officer get behind me, and I still get nervous.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been doing this job for almost 5 years.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, well, why? Like, I'll be asking people, like, you know, hey, you know, what made you, what was your probable cause to stop this person? Oh, they were looking suspicious. They, you know, they were tensed up. They wouldn't look at me. I said, do you not understand the environment we live in? But most black people don't trust the police. It ain't against the law to. I ain't gonna look at you at a red light.
Yeah.
If I don't look, I don't wanna look at you. There's no crime for me. Not, how am I suspicious by not looking at you?
Yeah.
I'm looking straight ahead, folks on the road.
Yeah.
Like, oh well, he switched lanes when I got behind him. The man is probably terrified. Yeah. Have you not been watching the news? So like you can't judge somebody like for oh he's trying to avoid me or he looked tense. You gotta as a cop, if you're not waking up and you're not watching the news, if you're not educating yourself on the problems that are going on. I feel like as a police officer, no one held a gun to your head to make you do this job.
Yeah.
Nobody did. So, like, I wanted to get into the back to the day to where like a kid can see a cop and they feel like they can trust me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, or versus I'm not the enemy, but you can look at some police officers and they are, mm-hmm. like they are, and you can like some cops ain't never been in a physical altercation when they were a kid. Some of them were bullied, so now they hide behind this badge. Like they go home and they ain't nobody. You ain't nobody at home or in your community.
Yeah.
But you come to work, you put this badge on, you think you Billy Badass.
Yeah.
Saying we call that like the uniform of courage.
Yeah.
So I can come in here and sit in here and chop it up with y'all just like anybody. I can communicate, and that's one of the biggest things. Is like so many officers, we have all this use of force and all these shootings. Most police departments only train on firearms twice a year because ammo is expensive.
Yeah.
It's expensive. So, but you know, they'll train on everything else, and some do a lot more shooting more well-funded cities. But one thing you never train, this mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And this will get you out of a lot of situations.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I told him this a long time ago. I treat everybody the way I want to be treated with respect and dignity until I don't have to.
Yeah.
Everybody can't be certain, man.
Yeah.
But I'm a sorry man to you to death at first.
Definitely.
And then your tone and your demeanor is going to change mine.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not going to take it personal. Like, I don't make the law. I just enforce it. If you want to take it personal, by all means, you get riled up and you take it personal. I ain't going to get my blood pressure up. I ain't going to sit here and argue with you. We ain't in court.
Yeah.
But some officers want to take it there. They want to make it personal.
Definitely.
Like, oh, you want to call me this? Like, I've been called a monkey. A nigga so many times.
Yeah.
I don't take it personal. They want you to get mad.
Yeah.
They want you to get mad. That's the thing. It's they want you to get mad, especially they want to see your true colors, honestly. We all got it.
True.
Mm-hmm. We all got that stuff that make us snap.
Mm-hmm.
But if I snap and lose my cool with a badge on,
you got more to lose.
I got more. You already won. And I got to think about it, like you said earlier, like with careers and stuff being successful. When I go to work every morning, I'm not just working for me. I got a wife at home. I got a baby on the way. I lose my job. We lose our health insurance. We lose our benefits. We lose a paycheck. Mm-hmm. And then if I whoop somebody on the side of the road and I get charged with something, ain't nobody else going to hire me.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. And you know, and the growth of, like you say, the growth is the knowledge that you receive. Because I couldn't picture myself 5 years ago. I mean, well, I've been home 9 now. So 20 years ago, I couldn't picture myself in this type of sitting with you with a badge on.
You
was the enemy.
Yeah, public enemy number one. Yeah.
Police go the other way.
Yeah,
exactly. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But doing the education in my walk of life now, I relate to people, like you say, to what they give me, you know?
Yeah.
And I have a lot of officers come to my barbershop. And like I was telling you earlier, I have officers that we play ball with through MCM, you know?
Yeah.
Shout out to Robbinsdale Police Department, you know? And they did a little fundraising, the kids came, and that made them look at kids and let kids in the projects get another outlook about the officers.
Exactly.
Like you said, we have good police, we have bad police. Just like you got good white people, you got bad white people.
Exactly.
You got good blacks, you got everybody. Is can't judge a person off of one, every people off of one person.
Exactly.
Activity, but life now, man, it's so hard, man, that we don't reach out. And that's what MCM all about, my program and my community mentor. We all about reaching out to give a kid a new outlook on life, man, because society had controlled us to the point where we really don't trust nobody.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
They brainwash us into that. And coming on shows like this and sitting down, police officer, college dude, street dude, it's all three of us here got the same motive.
Yeah.
It's to build our community, to bring us closer, man. So shout out to you, brother. I'm talking about shout out to you. I don't care if you're black or white. My people are the people that are trying to make change in life.
Exactly,
man.
Exactly.
And I, that's why everything I got is multicultural. I don't have just a black business. I have a multicultural business where I want to touch everybody that want to make a difference in the community.
Okay, definitely, man. I appreciate the conversation so far, man. Y'all are already touching on topics that, you know, I haven't even mentioned to y'all yet, but y'all are already touching on topics we're going to talk about a little later as well. But we want to continue finishing up your success story as well. Next question is, what does it mean to be a product of your environment? Kind of give them the background of your environment, and how did you come from that environment to now being successful and being the person you are today, and how, you know, how that happened?
Man, so that's a good one. Because if you put a fish in a fish tank that's 10 gallons, the fish is only going to grow to the capacity of the tank.
You're right. Mm-hmm.
But if you put a fish in a 55-gallon tank, the fish is going to grow because that's a different environment. Mm-hmm. So when I was growing up, like, I lived in, you know, on Fifth Street, Cody Road, Mobile, Hood. Like, I didn't see nothing but dope being sold, people getting shot. Like, I thought that was normal. I thought that was everyday life. Like, I thought that was his everyday life. I was like, that's just, I mean, okay, that's what I'm seeing on TV. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm being fed my walk of life. But I was blessed to be able to get out of that opportunity, get out of that situation. A lot of kids aren't. So you look at a city that's nearby with one of the highest crime rates in the country is Mobile. Because mm-hmm. Mobile, there is no escape. There is no avenue for these young kids. Like, they go to school. If they do go to school, they come home most of the time, you know, dad ain't around, mom's working two or three jobs to make ends meet. So you being raised by your environment. Yeah. If you're not being raised by TV or by the lyrics you're hearing in music or you know, just your situation to where that's all you're seeing. Like, I'm seeing everybody driving around looking successful. They selling dope. That's mm-hmm. fast, quick money. They look like they got it going on. But the main thing is, like, being a product of your environment, you have to learn how to adapt to any situation you're in. And there's a lot of people too out here in the world that don't know what it means to survive. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of people were raised off, like, my wife, prime example, love her to death. But she was raised off love. I was raised off survival.
Yeah.
You gotta get it by any means. Yeah. It's different.
Yeah.
And you walk different, you talk different, you look at people differently. Because when you raise off love, you have this open door policy. Like, everybody come in. Like, come on, you got it. But when you raise off survival, you like, okay, I gotta watch how you move. I gotta watch how you act. But a lot of kids too, and especially a lot of our black men, like, based on the environment you in, you gotta use whatever avenue you can use to get out.
Definitely.
And yeah. I'm not saying it's drugs. If you want to be a football player, basketball player, track star, you got all the God-given abilities. You got the build, the strength, the speed. You got all that. But one thing that holds a lot of young black men back are education.
Yeah,
so I got the physical tools. Now I need to focus on the mental aspect of it, because that's the way I can get out. Mm-hmm. Use what you got to get what you want. So if you want to be a musician, if you want to, you know, make music, find you a mentor. If you want to, you know, if you're in sports and you got all the sports, find you somebody that's already in the position that you're in. Find you somebody that made it out. Because a lot of people, you know, I know a lot of kids very, very talented that grew up in the projects, and, you know, they going to school and they ain't got nobody at home. So things that y'all are doing, they see people, they have mentors, you know, because I salute to all single mothers, but a woman cannot raise a man to be a man.
Okay.
I'm sorry. My mom did the best she could. My dad got locked up, but I ended up being raised by my uncle, and I was soft as farming tissue. I was soft when I got to my uncle's house, because, I mean, I was being raised by, I didn't learn how to be a man. Like, a puppy can't tell a lion how to be a lion. A wolf can't tell a sheep how to be a wolf. Like, you just can't.
Okay.
It's not possible. So I think, as far as, like, being a product of your environment, if you are in a bad situation, like, nowadays with technology, all you got to do is pick up your phone and reach out to somebody.
Yeah.
Reach out to somebody.
Definitely.
Like, a lot of kids now, they think that it's weak to ask for help. I think you are stronger for being vulnerable and asking for help than, like, nah, bro, I got it. And then you never seek help. And then I come back and look at you 4 or 5 years down the road, you're still in the same neighborhood, still doing the same old shit everybody else doing.
And to touch on that, because you preaching on some of the things that I try to enlighten the people on, like, especially with the education. You know, you got the kids that have, like you said, all the talent in the world. And we don't position ourselves to help them kids, man. We tell them kids what they need to do, but we don't never show them.
Exactly.
So the program, I'm speaking high level of my program today because I really want people to understand it's all about position.
Mm-hmm.
You got a talented kid that doesn't know any other avenues out but what he see.
Mm-hmm.
It's our job to see that kid with that talent and say, hey, man, you're slipping in your grades. You care more about sports or whatever you're doing,
mm-hmm.
but you're not focused on what's going to get you there.
Exactly.
You want it, but you don't know how to get it.
MCM
is supposed to be the one that say, hey, look here, man, we got a tutor for you. People that's in the community need to volunteer their time to help that kid get to that, because you know he's struggling.
Because exactly.
like you said, all you see is dope boys running the street with big cars, the bombs laying on the street saying, man, this is life right here. Them kids see that, because you can't be blind to what them kids see.
Exactly.
You got to become a realist about it. Hey, this is the avenue. If I don't get this man no education, that's facts, man. You cannot change reality, man. Reality, if you are in a project, this is what you're going to see. Now, in order for you to get out of this project is to position yourself to mentor the kid, to give the help that he need to get him out of there.
Exactly.
Because, man, we can point fingers and say he hard headed. That's not helping no kid.
Exactly.
Once you, like you told me earlier, once you attain the knowledge, you're supposed to do better.
Exactly. They say when you know better, you do better.
That's it. And I'm so glad that you are talking about it, man, because more people, I mean, they look at me as half crazy sometimes because I'm so focused on making it.
Yeah, exactly.
But my heart is in it.
I'm in the same boat.
My heart is in it, bro. And I've been struggling with this program for almost 4 years because the people that I surround myself around doesn't see my vision.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But when I get guys like him and you to come around that see my vision, it's up to us to push it. So any way that I can push my vision to someone to see that, hey, I don't care how great your kid is, he's not going to make it if he don't have the education or the knowledge, man, or being put in position. You can't be a football player if you don't study football.
Yeah.
You go out there and want to be a football player, you only study baseball. I don't care what talent you got, you don't have the knowledge to the shake and bake or the run the play, you ain't no good.
And this is why I try to tell folks all the time, especially like young kids. And, you know, I ain't trying to talk bad about the NCAA, but when you give, to me, I support college sports and all that stuff like that, but when you give a kid a scholarship to come to your school and play sports, basically that kid is property.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like slavery.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna bring you in. Yes, and yes, I'm gonna play. I'm gonna pay for your education, but we making so much more money off your athletic ability.
That's nothing.
That you ain't getting no reimbursement for.
Mm-hmm.
So say for example, your kid got all the educational tools. They got the smarts and the knowledge to go to college. Yes, I could have gotten to school with a football scholarship or an academic scholarship. So let's say you sign an athletic scholarship. You go to that school for 2 years. You tear your ACL. Then what? You know, then what? So, and that even translating outside of college, because these schools ain't worried about these kids getting no education, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, outside of Alabama with Nick Saban, I mean, a lot of coaches don't really pour into their kids. Mm-hmm. You are a tool. You gonna get me where this school needs to go, make me some money, sell tickets, take me to the championship game, and then you go to the NFL, that's on you. So these kids don't learn. They ain't learned at home. Parents and the community has failed them. They get to college, you being used. So you going to the NFL, you handing this kid a contract that's buku money. And then you look up 3-4 years, they broke.
They broke.
Because everybody in that community that failed them, that they thought that the kid thought had their back, they making these millions. That's why you see draft parties packed out.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in the hood at the draft party. Oh, I remember little Pookie from down the street. I mean, I used to watch him when his mama was at work. But you didn't pour into that kid. Yeah, you watched him. You watched him with your eyes. But you ain't ever pointed to that kid. So you look at, you know, people like from local people, like, you know, Julio, he's from Foley, but he's doing well. He went to Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Then you look at somebody like Jamarcus Russell, they handed this man $60 million and they rewrote the whole rule book because of him.
Yeah.
Like, rookies can't get that much money anymore because you lack that, you lack that information. I'm not trying to talk bad about the man, mm-hmm. but you give me $60 million, I ain't working a day ever in my life. Mm-hmm. So how can you, like, a lot of people say, I don't understand how these athletes go broke. Like, Vince Young went broke. Dennis Rodman went broke. Like, they all go broke, and it goes back to, like you say, community. Community is failing these kids, and they don't have anybody in their corner.
Yeah.
Like, most of these kids, they get out of college. You know, they do 2 years in college, they declare for the league. Mama and daddy ain't never been around no money. Anybody else in the family been around no money. But they can't call somebody and be like, you know, hey, look, man. You know, what you think I should do? Mm-hmm. Because their whole life, they never been surrounded by somebody that told them right from wrong. Like, these kids, some parents get these kids that just got God-given talent, and the only thing they see these kids as is a meal ticket. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, that's going to be my way out. Mm-hmm. And then if the kid don't make it, you treat them like they're a failure.
That's it.
And they ain't got nothing to fall back on. You know, you can get hurt. They can take your ACL. They can take your Achilles. You can get hurt. But one thing that nobody can ever take from you is this. You got that knowledge. They can't nobody take that. Nobody ever knows what you're thinking about. That's why I try to tell kids nowadays, educate yourself. Like early I said, you know, ignorance is not an excuse. You got a smartphone. Hey Siri, how can I do this? Or hey Alexa, how can I do this? Pick up a book and read it. I mean, if you wanna go places that ain't nobody else ever been, you gotta do things that nobody's ever done. So you can go ask anybody else in the hood, like, hey man, so I mean, you was good in sports, you had all these offers and stuff. Why you ain't make it? Oh man, my grades. So I know, okay, he didn't make it because of his grades. So what do I need to do? Hammer on my grades. Pick up a book, read it. I mean, you out here doing all this stuff and chilling and hanging out, want to be cool, but I mean.
And that's why I tell the guys, not it ain't about boasting about anything. And I get so sick of hearing that. All they talk about is me. If you tell your story to a kid, like you just said, man, I was good in sports, but I had a bad attitude. Man, I was good in sports, but I get you relaying that to the kid, saying, hey, man, do better than that. Educate yourself. That individual that learned that lesson through life or not preparing themselves for a better life, them the ones that really need to let the kids, like me, I can go in there and say, hey, look, I was about to go in the Air Force, okay? Here's my per diems, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is reality, son. I was right here, but look where I ended up, in prison. You know what I'm saying? Because I didn't follow what I really believed in that was true to me.
Yeah.
So I tried to live like everybody else in society was living on my environment mm-hmm. of hustling. That landed me 25 years in prison. So what I wanted my legacy to be when I leave this earth, because that's the only way you live long, bro, is what people remember of you. Once exactly. people start remembering you, dead. That's
gone.
It. That's the only way. I don't think about the second creation or none of that. Your lifetime, what you leave here, is what carries on to the next generation, the exactly. next generation, exactly. the next generation. So I didn't want my legacy on the earth to be, oh, he sold dope and he went to prison. So I tried to reverse it. So I came back home
yeah.
and did my community mentor. And I had paid money to get this organization started because, like you said, the lack of knowledge and the lack of community. Hey, I want to start a program. Oh, man, yeah. these people ain't going to let you.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
you yeah. like, oh, I had one, but man, this is what I did. Yeah. So now I want to talk to you. What did you fail in? Because I don't want to fall.
Exactly.
And I got all that information around me, and I still didn't know what to do. Guess what? I got on Google, how you start a nonprofit organization,
yep.
called Legal Services, asked them what I needed to do. I paid $3,500, bro. After I paid, you know, the community said, oh man, I could have did that for that. Nah, bro.
Nah, exactly.
I don't
exactly.
need you now, I got exactly. a book.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And this is what MCM came from, man. And now Mark is the head over, you know, I'm just a founder because I got a lot of stuff going on. But one thing I haven't done, but I haven't walked away.
Yeah.
So I'm here.
Exactly.
And I'm here. And every idea that I come up with, I share with Marcus to make sure Marcus understands my vision. And he finesse it because yeah. he's the educator.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm that dude that came out the street. So yeah. it's a little bit harder for
yeah.
me. But I got the educator right here. The educator with his twist on it. And I sit back, long as it's driving in the right direction, I leave it up to my man.
And sometimes, you know, people got to realize that, like, not everybody is meant to walk your journey with you. It's sometimes in life, you got to separate yourself. Either you got cousins, it might be your parents.
Yeah.
And it was, it hit me, man. I didn't, because in black culture, we always want to, you know, family first, fam first, fam first. And I respect it and I get it. But if your family is the one that's holding you back and your family is the one that's being toxic, some of my worst enemies got my same last name.
There you go.
So it's because I don't know what it is. I don't know how we break that cycle of that whole crab in a bucket syndrome.
Yeah.
Like, I started a business. I do real estate. You know, I got vending machines. I'm trying to, like, do stuff. And I try to go put people on, especially my family, like, help my family first, because they don't understand sometimes that you can't help nobody else until you help yourself.
Mm. Yep.
I can't help you and I'm still struggling. So I try to put my family on, but now they want to make it like it's a competition.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a competition.
Right.
Like, I position myself to walk in rooms I never could walk in based on the education that I have.
Yeah.
I can sit at tables I never thought I'd be able to sit at.
Exactly.
I can articulate things. I can go into a bank and articulate how to get a loan.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't go out and, you know, get credit cards or get bad vehicles and get bad debt. I got a good credit score.
Yeah.
So, you know, having a good credit score can present you with opportunities that you never could dream about having.
I've witnessed that.
So me walking in with a good credit score when I know my family don't have a good credit score, I can go in and get a loan to buy a house. Or I can tell them, like, look, hey, I know you got three, four, five kids, especially with the stimulus check that came out, you getting all this money. With these income tax, you get all this money. Save, you know, each one of y'all save $3,000 or $4,000. Give it to me. We'll go in and put 20% down on the house that we now own.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody else is paying us each month for an asset. It's not something that's going to appreciate. It's something that we can leave behind with our kids. Because me, like, it's funny, man. Because it's sad, but it's a situation I can teach people on. In the last year, I lost 5 family members. And every time I don't hear from folks for years, whenever somebody die, my phone rings. Because they're like, hey, you know, so-and-so passed away. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Like, you know, did y'all need help getting y'all affairs in order? Anybody got no life insurance? Anybody got no money in the bank? Anybody got nothing? So whenever I pass away, I want my little girl or how many kids I have to inherit something.
Mm-hmm.
Daddy left you this. I'll remember by this. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be like, oh, well, so, you know, we got to try to sell daddy's house and sell his cars. You know, we got these credit card bills and all this like that. Like, no, so I try to put myself in a situation to that my family, all you do is talk about money. It ain't like that.
Mm-hmm.
I try to position myself to learn more about it because I know it's a tool to get me from point A to point B.
Yeah.
But they think it's a competition. That's the same thing with the crab in the bucket syndrome. Mm-hmm. I got out the bucket. I'm trying to help y'all get out. But whenever I try to help y'all get out, y'all want to pull me back in.
Yeah, they want to pull you back in. And I was telling him today, I said, people think they owe you something, but they don't owe you nothing. They pay homage to where they came from.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's why I be telling people, if I'm on you, I'm on you to see you do better.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If I already walked that life and I see and I got your hand, I'm carrying you through that walk with me, bro. My job is not to let you fall.
Exactly.
So I'm going to tell you things that you might not want to hear, but don't get mad at me.
Yeah.
And feel like, oh, he's the man beating on the chair because he's the man. No, bro. I just want to see all of us make it.
Yeah, I give a tough love. Like, a lot of folks don't want me around because I'm that friend that's going to call you out on your bullshit. If you fucking up, I'm like, look, hey, look, what you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are you doing? And then a lot of folks are like, oh man, oh, you just think you better than, like, no, it's not. I'm thinking I'm better than anybody. I ain't better than the next man. I'm just trying to tell you, like, look, hey, you fucking up.
Yeah.
But it's some folks that can't take criticism.
Definitely. Can't take.
They can't take criticism. Oh, you hate? No, you doing like? No, I ain't like. If you out here and I know you just got your income tax, you just got your stimulus check, and you went out here to one of these little side of the road car lots. And you paying $1,000 down and you financing a $4,000 car for 72 months. That's dumb.
That's dumb.
That's dumb, bro. Put you save you some money, pay cash for it.
Definitely.
But I mean, so you just like, oh, I got this car. Like, oh, you hate because I got this. Like, I tell my family all the time, if I wanted to go to any car dealership and buy any car I wanted, I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I drive an 06 4Runner. I ain't trying to impress nobody.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't trying to impress nobody. Like, if I wanted to go get me a Benz. Or if I want to go give me I could go do that. But why? I ain't gonna impress nobody. And I think that's so much in our culture. Like, we think we gotta have this, we gotta have that. Like, we gotta be rocking J's, or we gotta have a Cuban link, or we gotta have this kind of car, or we gotta do this. And then we show, like I said, back to the front yard. We show you our front yard, but internally our backyard is messed up. So it's a continuous cycle of bullshit.
Yeah.
So it's like, when is it gonna stop?
When the bullshit gonna stop?
When is it gonna stop? Like, I know grown men, 40, 50, 60 years old, still in the club.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what do you celebrate, bro? Like, what are you celebrating? I know folks that just got terrible situations going on, but they try to drown themselves in a happy environment. Mm-hmm. If I go out in the club and I look like I'm together, people will think I'm together, and I'm go home and I'm depressed. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I ain't nothing wrong with going to the club. I go out, have you a good time. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, what are you celebrating?
Gotcha, yes, man. Hey, real good conversation going on. Definitely continue to link in, continue to share as much as you can. Shout out to the people that are watching right now. The last thing, just to kind of finish up on the success stories, just think about an event, an activity, or something that you will be willing and want to host in your community, and how can MCM kind of help you push that as well.
So one event I've been thinking about, and I've been trying to get my ducks in a row before I came to anybody with a, because I like to be prepared. Like, the worst feeling to me is being unprepared for something. Yeah. Like, if I know I got something coming up, I feel terrible. Like, I know I got a fitness test coming up, and I ain't ran. I've been eating Taco Bell and cheeseburgers all day. I'd be like, oh man, I knew I had this event coming up. But one thing I want to do is just like start teaching kids young about like the power of, you know, saving and investing. Like, I ain't saying you gotta be cheap your whole life. Like, life is short. Enjoy some things, but also put something back.
Yeah.
If you get $100, don't spend the whole $100. You know, that's one thing too, because the wage gap and the wealth gap is so high between white Americans and black Americans.
Uh-huh.
It's crazy. Because, you know, most white families, they pass down generational wealth. Right. Like, so we got this farm, we got these houses. When we die, these are yours. Mm-hmm. And then when they get it, their kids get it, and it just keep going. But and black families, we ain't passing down nothing but debt.
A lot of them.
We selling everything.
Exactly. So mama and daddy had this house since we was kids, and they paid for it. Mm-hmm. You've been living in this house for 70 years. You're not refinancing 4 or 5 times. And every time you refinance, you go buy bullshit.
Yeah.
So you refinance and you ain't paying down on none of the loan. Your kids get it. You got debt they got to pay. So the kids got to go sell the house at a loss. Mm-hmm. Just to recoup some of the debt you got. So it's, if you start teaching these kids young about money, teaching them the difference between an asset and a liability, learning about the stock market, stuff like that. Like, did nobody teach me? I was watching folks.
Yeah.
Like, when I was working all these jobs, I worked at I was a bartender at a place called the Grand Hotel in Point Clear. A lot of high profile people there. I didn't know nothing about nothing. So I listened. A lot of people don't listen with their mouth. Mm-hmm. But God let your mouth close. You can fold your ears as many times as you want to fold them, but you can still hear. You know, so you can close your eyes, you can be blind to the BS, you can close your mouth, but a lot of people don't understand the power of listening.
That word.
Like, just shut up and listen sometimes. So I would just, people be sitting there talking, I'm just pouring their drinks. They have no idea I'm listening to their conversation. So I'm like, okay, this dude's like, yeah, I got these stocks, I got these bonds. So I'm like, okay, stocks, bonds. And I have a notepad, just write it down. And so this other person, this lady's like, oh yeah, you know, I bought this house, I put 20% down, so I ain't got to pay PMI. I ain't know what PMI was, so I'm like, write it down. Do. And so I make a notepad, and I'll go home that night, and I'll Google, what's PMI, what's the stock market, what's RSI, what's this, what's the asset, what's the liability. So now I Googled it, I've learned a little bit about it, now I can interject myself in the conversation without seeming ignorant.
Yeah.
Because in their mindset, they perceive me, I'm a bartender wearing a damn, some short shorts and a floral shirt.
Mm-hmm.
So they must assume I'm, okay, he ain't,
yeah.
I'm already black. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm serving high profile white people.
Yeah.
So a week goes by, these people still, they come in and get drinks from me. They already know me, I make them laugh. So then I interject myself, I hit them with a question like, you know, hey, I was watching Facebook and I saw the RSI go down. So, I mean, I think I'm gonna sell my position. And they're like, whoa. So then I still don't know what I'm talking about, but I can articulate.
Yeah.
So now they giving me free game. Mm. Because they don't think I'm gonna apply it. I take something from everybody I listen to and I apply it. It ain't people like, oh, you robbed this person. No, I call it being smart.
Yeah.
If you a fisherman and you got a honey hole and you come in here, you tell me, oh yeah, I go down here and I fish this spot, you know, on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. But you gotta work on Tuesday and Thursday. Where I'm gonna be at on Tuesday and Thursday? In your honey hole. So it's free game.
It's free
game. Oh man, like you copy his sweat. If I see somebody being successful, I ain't going to do exactly what you did.
Yeah.
I'm gonna follow your blueprint and tweak it to me. That's just being smart.
That's being smart.
That's being smart. But that's one thing I want to like start trying to do it. I got to figure out the avenue to do it, but I want to start teaching kids young about the power that their dollar holds.
So are you willing to take a day out, and this is what MCM can really offer, if you can take a day out of your week and we have people line up to you facilitate a class?
Yeah, I mean, it didn't even with old people, because I'm staying up late on Sundays, making content for the whole week. I post a video every single day on my Instagram. It's not I'm sitting here making back-to-back videos. I may make 10 videos on Sunday and just change my shirt.
That's it.
And different days, I post a different video. But I'm taking time out. I'm not charging for it. It's just me wanting to give back.
Yeah.
So it can be young kids. It can be old kids. It can be married folks, because sometimes folks get married and they don't even talk about finances. So y'all both come into a marriage already fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, I got this debt. We come together, make a damn debt sandwich. Yeah. But that's what I want to try to get, like, especially in the Black community. Like, I want to start getting into churches.
Yeah.
Because one thing, like, I'm not actively in the church right now.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was actively in the church, I started seeing stuff. I'm like, okay, the pastor is preaching on one thing. And this ain't me trying to knock nobody's religion or anything like that.
Oh, no. Speak your mind. Why don't you say real talk?
The pastor would be preaching one thing. Like, will a man rob God and forcing people, like, not forcing, but having people pay taxes, and not taxes, but pay tithes, and then asking for 3 and 4 offerings, so people feel like if I give my offering to God, I'm going to be blessed. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a lot of people that want to get on their knees and pray, but not do the work.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be in these parking lots, and I'm walking outside. I'm like, okay, the pastor got a Benz.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't nobody else in the church got one. The pastor wearing new clothes every Sunday. Ain't nobody else got one. So you preaching to these folks, but what are you teaching them?
Mm-hmm.
What are you teaching them? It's just one thing too, like in the Black community, in the Black culture, like everybody grandmama, you know, go to church dressed up now with a big hat on, whatever, got the picture of the praying hands in the house somewhere. But me and my grandmama had it out one time. So I was like, Granny, you've been going to church for years. I'm 28 years old now, and you've been going to church for years, and ain't nothing changed. Because and I'm not saying prayer is not powerful, but prayer is powerful. But if you say, God, I want you to bless me with a new house, or I want you to bless me with a new car, and you ain't got no job, a car ain't just gonna fall in your lap. Like, you can sit here and pray on your knees all day long, but you gotta put the work in. You're like, God, I want a new house. All right, and then this is me being God. Like, okay, you want a new house. What have you done? Have you been around looking? Have you been working on your credit?
Yeah.
Do you got proof of income?
Mm-hmm.
Like, but some people want it microwave. I want it now.
Yeah.
I want it now. I don't do no work. I just want it now.
Right.
So, and that's the thing too.
And that's another thing I've been taking on tradition, man. People don't understand tradition can hurt you, man. You know what I'm saying?
It can hurt you
until you realize, man, that, I mean, and I'm just gonna speak up. I don't believe in teaching my kids about Santa Claus, because I believe, like I told you, my mom and grandma them lied to me.
Exactly.
I go to mom, I say, Mom, you lied to me about Santa Claus. Well, baby, you were too young. That's a bad trick.
Exactly. You pass it on.
So exactly. I don't do that to my child no more. You know what I'm saying? My child that I have. I don't tell her nothing about no Santa Claus.
I don't either.
You know, I want them to know that you're getting these gifts because
for me,
I wanted you to have, because the other kids are cruel at the time that they're receiving stuff.
Yeah.
And if you don't receive it, I want to teach them that. I want them to understand 40 acres and a mule was never a reality. Too many slaves, man, that have 40 acres and a mule.
Yeah.
Ain't no slave master that had 100 something slaves gonna give you 40 acres and a mule. Because in the end, if you give 100 slaves 40 acres and a mule, ain't no land left.
Exactly.
Ain't enough land for people. So I want them to get that mentality out, because that was a false tradition that was passed down to us, man.
And some folks get it twisted off the jump, because with me, I'm brutally honest. I'm gonna tell you exactly how I feel. Me and my wife have this argument about, well, how are we gonna tell our kids about Santa Claus? This is how I feel. Some people year in and year out start the year off wrong because they can't tell their kid, they don't wanna break that tradition that Santa Claus don't exist. All you gotta do is sit down with your kids, but look, hey, mom and daddy ain't got it this year.
That's it.
We ain't got it this year. We ain't got it. I'm sorry. I mean, you go, like, when I was a kid, like, my dad was one of the realest people I ever met. And we had a rough relationship, and I didn't understand what was going on, but now we have a better relationship. When it was Christmas time, when you had it, he was like, go hit them lights on. They turn on, don't they? Go turn that faucet on. You can take a bath, don't you? But there's so many people that try to keep up with the Joneses and impress folks. Oh, I got my baby this, I got my baby that.
Yeah.
Like, you see 2 and 3 year old kids dressed like grown men, and they got all this stuff for Christmas, And then now you going into New Year stressed out.
Mm-hmm.
You going into New Year stressed out, or you struggling because you had to keep up with that perception or that tradition of I gotta get my kids this because this is Christmas. Santa Claus came and bought my babies this, so you got all the lights on the Christmas tree December 25th, but they off on the next day on 26th.
Yeah.
You ain't paid your bills, yeah. So like I ain't gonna never like sacrifice my financial position or, you know, paying my bills for a holiday that society said is important.
Yeah, because a lot of them doesn't mean anything. And I tell people all the time, certain people like me, I've been getting my own money since I was 16.
Yeah.
Cutting hair in the barbershop, mm-hmm. hustling on the streets. I never worked at a job, or I never filed taxes until I came home in 2012. And I'm 48 years old now. And I came home when I was 39. And so I look at it like this, and this is coming from the real, man. I really and truly want to see my family, first off, do better because I watched my great-grandmama and my grandmama and my granddaddy pass stuff on. So we got a head start with it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But the new generation done dropped the ball.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? They want to be friends with their kids instead of being parents to their kids. You know what I'm saying? Until we realize that the false hope of society being successful for the black cultures, it really not true.
It ain't.
You know what I'm saying? The success of you buying a Cadillac is not success.
No, it's not.
You passing generation of wealth down for your kid can have a head start because you should know about the struggle because you've been through it. People been broke to paychecks and people been broke where no way to get no money.
Yeah.
Are the ones that take broke serious.
And that's why I try to tell folks all the time, like we should have taught this in school. Like who came up with the school system?
Yeah.
White people.
Of course.
Yeah.
Like so they teaching their kids, and this ain't no knockout at white, because my wife is white. But we have these same conversations that we have in here. I have it with her because my kid's gonna be biracial, and you have to teach these kids that. Because this is what I told my wife. I said, our kid is gonna be a nigga in somebody's eyes.
Yeah.
And somebody's eyes are gonna be a nigga in somebody's eyes. So they're like, well, we don't learn this stuff in school. Okay, I get that, but school's put in place to create employees. Yes. And it ain't nothing wrong with being an employee, but school, you gotta wear a uniform, you gotta raise your hand to speak, you gotta ask to go to the bathroom. So all you know is how to be an employee. But you got some kids that go to school and their parents are business owners, and they teaching their kids a certain thing outside of that. But that's just like, this is how I equivalent it. When you had slaves, they controlled slaves with the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
When they got rid of slavery, they had segregation.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they had integration, they controlled the masses with school.
Yeah.
Like, so it's systematic. Yeah. And most black people have only been in systems. So when you're a slave, you're in a system of your the religion.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go to school, you're in a system of the school, of the school board. And then you don't know anything outside of that, so you go to the prison system. It's a system. It's systematic. And that's what when they say systematic racism, that's what they mean.
Yeah.
Like, you never take it upon yourself to go educate yourself. That's why education is so important. It's so important because when you had a slave owner, they wouldn't give you the whole Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sometimes I believe, like, when we were in Africa, we call African-Americans. I've never been to Africa. Yeah. I have no idea what religion was taught over there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come over here to America, and now I'm getting Christianity, and y'all are showing me Jesus who looks like you.
That's it.
But now if I go read the Bible for myself, they don't want slaves to read. But as I become an adult, I've read the Bible for myself. They said his hair was like wool.
Mm-hmm.
And he's from the Middle East.
Yeah.
So he don't look like you. He looked more like me.
Yeah.
He looked more like me. And then I try to tell people all the time, like I'm not saying any race is better than another race, but with African Americans, black people, Americans, just black people from Africa, where it all started, the motherland, I can be outside all day and not burn. You go outside for 15 minutes, you pink.
That's it.
So it's like, okay, when as a culture, as a race, are we going to get out of the system?
That's it.
It's like we always be put into these systems. So when are we going to like have our own? It's the NBA is 96% black. One black owner, Michael Jordan. The NFL is about 97% black. No black owners. When are we going to start owning something?
Because we don't. Because there's a lack of knowledge, man. They exactly. don't want to accept that tradition lied to them, man. Mm-hmm. It's a lie. Tradition is lies.
We've
man.
Always been taught that there's a savior coming. That's when are you going to save yourself?
That's it. If you don't put in the work, man, like you said, if you don't put in the work, you don't know. I'm an entrepreneur.
Exactly.
And personal experience, man, I done failed 1,000 times and I got back up. One thing I have learned was a lesson to why I failed.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Learn some every time.
Every time. And so in my progress of the 9 years that I've been home, I have grown. Mm-hmm. It took a minute for me to understand that, hey, man, it's a process. You know what I'm saying? I want it right then. I want it right now. You know what I'm saying? Because I was taught as a, in the system, that this is what I got to do. I broke a lot of barriers since I've been home.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You can't go talk to this high-ranked dude right here, ask for no money for your program, unless you got a suit and a towel, unless you can email and all that. Man, I ain't do none of that.
Yeah.
I walked in there and I gave them my heart.
Yeah.
That's how I got my money from my donations. I gave them my heart. Hey, man, this is what I feel. This is what I seem like. That would seem like to me would be a better. Every kid is at risk because lack of knowledge.
And you can have a vision, but not a plan.
That's it.
So you can say, I want to get this building. I want to start this. And you can go anywhere and tell people like, okay, this is what I see. But they want to see how you're gonna get there. Make it make sense to me.
Yeah.
And that's the knowledge is just so it's important because, and I try to harp on it too, man. Like I am passionate about, you know, us changing the culture, like the black culture, because we the only race that cannot for and this goes back to Willie Lynch. That's where Lynch came from. He wrote a book about how to control black people for long after he's gone.
Yeah,
long after slavery, just pit them against each other, light skin against dark skin.
Big and small.
Exactly. So we don't want the only race that everybody steals culture from, but we can't come together for the culture.
Mm-hmm.
So you got Chinatown. You got, you know, like white cultures, like people gonna always, you can have no degree, but you know somebody that maybe they gonna put you on. Mm-hmm. But like outside of Black Wall Street in Tulsa, Oklahoma, that got burned down, we ain't had nothing like that since. Cause we can't work together.
Can't work together.
It's always competition. Like, oh, it's like, for example, if you own the barbershop, if I come in and you teach me how to be a barber, the first thing I want to do is go get my own shop.
Crazy, man.
Is go get my own shop. It's okay. Like I say, hey, I'm gonna learn how to cut, and then like, hey, I learned how to cut, man. I want to go get, you know, a shop, but you taught me. Let's put money together in and dang go it. go open up a shop.
Franchise something.
But it's always like, okay, well, and that's why most black groups can't stay together.
Mm-hmm.
Destiny Child, everybody want to be Beyonce.
Yeah,
you ain't Beyonce.
That's it.
Like Kelly Rowland stretched out on her own, that career didn't last long. Beyonce still making music. Mm-hmm. Like some people got to learn how, man, just stay in your lane, play your role,
and you'll be successful.
Play your role, like Danny Green for the Warriors. Hey, I know. Hey, coach, I ain't finna go get you 20 points a game, 30 points a game. I ain't trying to be Steph. Mm-hmm. Let Steph score. I'm going to set screens. I'm going to get rebounds. I can't play basketball. But one thing I'm going to do, I'm going to D you up and get my rebound and pass somebody that can shoot.
That's it.
Play your role.
That's it.
Play your role.
Yeah. And we lost that concept because I tell them, dog, you can't hate them messing because they came up getting no money. Them messing go send 10 in the house, man.
Exactly.
They're going to buy a house each year. Then
exactly.
Then you know all
exactly.
10 of them got a house.
I hate how some folks are like, oh, man, the Mexicans taking my job. No, they doing the job that you don't want to do.
That's
you
know? It.
So they ain't taking your job. I mean, like, folks like, oh, you ain't upset about illegal immigrants over here? They ain't doing nothing to me.
Mm-mm.
They ain't doing nothing to me. You not did more to me than they did.
Oh, yeah. I learned.
Hurt me.
I learned when I went and stood in front of that man, that man hit that gal when all them jokes I thought were 100, but behind me with the pointing finger,
yeah.
I said, boy, reality is reality.
Yeah,
bro.
I said in.
Every man for himself.
Exactly.
And that's another. And even though the judge was white, he had a dog title.
And that's what
everybody on that stand was black.
I'm going to get into it when we get to the next topic. I got something to say about that, man.
Yeah. All right. So we're definitely about to push on to that next topic, man. Just talking about awareness. And kind of we already stressed on that a lot throughout the entire time, just talking about your success story, which is good. because it leads into what we're going to talk about the rest of the time. We're not just talking about self-awareness, but we're talking about awareness of everything around you for sure. So the first thing I just want to say is, can you describe a time that was very distressing that you remained calm and collected, and how were you able to do that?
Man, especially with this job, like when I first started this job as a law enforcement officer in a predominantly white, well, I ain't gonna say predominantly all white community, when as I think, I'm not saying all white people are bad, but I think like that old generation, if I stop somebody and I'm giving you orders, you're having to take orders from a black man, you don't see me as a police officer, you see me, this is a nigga telling me what to do.
Yeah.
So I take you to jail, and then we in the jail, we booking you in, I'm rolling your fingerprints, and you just, every word is nigga. And I don't let the word affect me because it just defines as an ignorant person. But at that time, I know you're using that word to affect me. So it was one point in time to where I stopped the dude, and I was being professional, and you know, he's nigga this, nigga that, and I'm just still, yes sir, you know, hey, you can, whatever, all right, cool, yada, yada, yada. I get you to the jail, and you know, I'm sitting there rolling your fingerprints, and I'm talking to the jail staff, and I turn around, you just, like, from the base of your throat, you just, one of them, and you spit in my face. So I had a decision to make. I'm like, do I whoop your ass? Do I mean,
see,
but at that point in time, like I said earlier, like it's they want that reaction out of you. Like I can, if you want me to be a nigga, I can be the biggest nigga you ever seen. Like I can get ignorant real quick. But at the same time, I'm like, you know, if I retaliate, I'm being exactly who you want me to be. And then another situation too is where like it was a stressful situation. Is it was four kids, man. It was four of them, 16, 17, 15, and 14-year-old kids. And you know, I pull them over, and they pass me. I can just smell them, strong. So I pull them over, and I'm talking to the driver. The driver is a 17-year-old kid, and talking to him, I get him out the car, talk to him one-on-one. The 14-year-old take blame for everything. Even the gun in the front seat, that's mine. The drugs in the car, that's mine. So, and it's kind of off topic, but it's so many times like this culture that we've created with music and certain things, like you think you're being hard for taking the charge. Like, oh, I stayed 10 toes down because I took the charge. Like, okay, put it this way. When I arrest somebody in law enforcement, I take you to jail. Or I arrest everybody. All four of y'all going to jail. When you get behind closed doors and you turn that camera on outside that door and them lights come on, that's when the show starts.
That's when the show starts.
Yeah, that's when the show starts. You gonna be hard on the side of the road, but when you come in that and you sit down and I say, look, are you looking at 10 to 15? Oh, you're gonna start singing. Oh, so yeah. Like everybody like, oh, I stay down, whatever, I stay 10 toes down, that's my boy, whatever, I ain't no snitch. Y'all all saying that.
Yeah.
They telling. Because I ain't like, people think it's cool. I'm not going to give 15 years of my life for something I didn't do.
Yeah.
I don't care how cool it is. But you got people that think that's cool. So I'm sitting here with this 14-year-old kid. You got a stolen gun in the car. You got coke in the car. You got weed in the car. You got pills in the car. I'm like, man, this ain't, you finna get charged with a, you 14 years old. They finna slaughter you. Yeah, ain't finna be no juvenile no detention center. You finna get tried as an adult. Yeah. You got a stolen gun. And we run the gun came back to a homicide like 4 or 5 years ago. So you finna get slaughtered. I know it ain't yours. Yes, it is. Man, it ain't yours. So I get you behind closed doors.
Soon as they turn that camera on,
man, you're singing.
Yeah, that's reality, man.
That reality set in, man. You can be, like I tell you, man, like Mike Tyson said the best, everybody got a game plan that you can punch in the mouth.
Everybody ain't able to get hit, bro.
So you get into a fight with somebody, you be like, oh, in your head, I'm gonna whoop his ass. And so you get that first lick, oh, now you had a game plan, you got punched in the mouth. That's anything in life, though. That's anything. Anytime you face with a situation, you can have a game plan in that situation, and then you can get hit, you get rocked. And I love boxing movies because that's what Mike Tyson said, and then Rocky said, you know. You know, it ain't about, you know, how hard you can get hit is by taking that lick and get back up and fight back, yeah. Basically. So it is in these hard situations. It's like, okay, you know, yeah, you can sit here and you can call me this on the side of the road. You can spit in my face even though I want to whoop you. Can't say a lot of stuff. I want the curb stomping, but I'm like, okay, I gotta be the bigger person. And sometimes we get so distracted with temporary situations that we'll let a temporary situation define who we are for long term.
Yeah. I had to deal with that when I came home, man. I prepared myself. I started mentoring when I was in prison. And the acceptance that I got from the prisoners that was in there seeing me, I mean, I did everything while I was in prison, selling dope and everything. And I'm not saying I got a bunch of people can bag that up. But when I looked in that mirror and seen that I was still 25 years old, looking at 52 or 53 coming home, I was like, bruh, I'm 23 years old, and you telling me 52, I'm finna come home, and I'm looking at my background, I'm like, shit. I don't have nothing, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So 25 years old, I decided to change my life. And that's one thing I had to deal with reality. I prepared myself to come home at the date of 222 by end up coming 212. So when I came home, I had a vision. Mm-hmm. But reality hit when I got here. I was free. I had nobody tell me what to do. I ran wild.
Yeah.
But I stayed focused. Even though I was running wild, I stayed focused. I wanted to have new memories because 1996 was the only memory I had.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Of the street. So a lot of people gave up on me. They're like, oh, he's gonna end up back where he was and he ain't gonna do nothing. But no, I just wanted to live a little bit. But don't matter how hard you try to have that vision of what you want, and it goes back to like you told me, it took the hard work.
Yeah.
I remember my mom crying, said, son, you moving too fast.
Yeah.
Give yourself time, you just got home. Out. But I was so determined, I told my mom, I was like, look, mom, if I don't do it now, I'm gonna get consumed by the freedom, then I'll never get started. So even though I was head over heels in debt,
mm-hmm.
I knew I didn't wanna lose.
Yeah.
So I work hard and hard and hard, and now I'm free of debt, man.
Yeah.
And life is great for me right now.
And one of the hardest decisions I had to make was it was 2016. It was 20. I wasn't a cop yet. I was lost. You know, honestly, I was struggling. I had like maybe like $9 to my name. Like $9 to my name. Check and savings up under the mattress. $9 total.
Mm.
And so I was like, okay, I'm just gonna go to work. I'm gonna go to work. And so I ended up working like crazy double shifts, and I ended up like scouting like $540. And I had a buddy of mine, you know, I ain't gonna say no names. I had a buddy of mine, I was like, look, man, you working too hard. And he's on that sell this dope. I'm like, all right, whatever. So, and he's showing me how much money he making. I'm like, man, like it can be all so simple. So he picked me up one day from work, you know, cause at the time I had a damn piece of shit car that it gonna break down, it ain't gonna run hot every day.
Mm-hmm.
So he picked me up from work, and he like, you still got that 540? I'm like, yeah, man, I'm trying to, cause we, as one thing my plan, but we all trying to flip something.
Yeah.
We all trying to flip something.
We're gonna try.
Yeah, we're gonna try. So I mean, we driving down 98 in Daphne. I kind of worked at Fairhope, and we going to interstate. I'm like, man, where we going? He's like, I'm gonna show you how to get it. So we going over the Cochran Bridge. We pull into, you know, Africa Town, like Pritchard area. And we pull up to this, like, look, I knew what it was. It was a little trap house or whatever. And he's like, I gotta go inside and, you know, make some shake or whatever. I was like, all right, I'm just staying in the car. And he came out, he called me on his phone. He's like, hey, come in here real quick. So I was like, nah, bro, I'm good. I'm staying in the car. And so he's like, you know, come in here real quick, man. I need you. So I go in there, whatever. And he's like, I want you to buy this weed. I was like, I can't remember how much it was. But it was like, dude gave me a deal on it. He was like, you know, hey, I'm gonna give you this whole whatever. You give me the 540, I'm gonna give you more than an ounce. I'm gonna give you more than that, and then you just give me a percentage of how much you sell off of it. And so at that time, I was like, man, I can go sell this weed, I can go do this, whatever, I can make a little quick money. And then that was the first time, like, this dude who I thought was my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And me and him had it out. Like, me and him got into it, we started fighting there, and I got jumped, or whatever, but I ain't had nothing. They jumped me and was going in my pocket. I ain't got nothing. I got, I mean, they took the 540, but I mean, Like, I could have got killed that day.
Yeah.
Cause I went in there and I was like, man, I saw my daddy go to prison for dope. I saw my cousin, my uncle go to prison for dope. And so even though I was like down on my luck, I had like $9 in my name, and I knew I didn't want to do that. I ain't want that fast money looking over my shoulder.
Yeah.
But it's a quick game. So yeah, I got my ass whooped that night, but I still got my life.
That's it.
You know, I was like, look, bro, y'all take the 540, I don't want it. Like I literally had to get out and I walked, bro. I got walked to downtown Mobile, and I got to the little McDonald's right there by the tunnel. I went in there, I was like, look, I got you one of y'all phones. She's like, you want me to call the police? I was gushing. You want me to call the police? No, right, son, I just need to call somebody to come take me home. And so, you know, I called one of my cousins that came pick me up or whatever. But like at that point in time, I feel like if I would have made the decision to sell dope, I would never got out. Mm-hmm. So I went from selling weed to cocaine. Then one thing about me is I can't jail is not for me.
Yeah.
I cannot be isolated to one position. But it was at one time in life to where I thought somebody was like my best friend who had my back. Put me in a situation they knew I didn't want to be in.
Yeah.
And I lost a brother that day. Yeah. You know, I see him in passing, and now we on two different spectrums.
Yeah.
You a big time dope boy, and I'm a police officer.
Yeah.
So I'm like, look, I ain't coming. You do you, but don't bring it out here with me.
That's it. And that's the same way I feel. You know, I had a lot of people testified on me. You know, I went to trial, and I see some of them. You know what I'm saying? It hurts.
Yeah, it do hurt.
It hurts. Because I know that you got up there, even though you told somebody, you lied too.
Yeah.
You know, you tried to take my life. So it made me a bigger person to see now mentally.
Yeah.
You see me making it and I'm doing good without selling drugs. And you really do hate that. Cause here's a guy that did 16 years and came home and I still passed you.
Exactly.
Cause you couldn't stop me.
And that was a crazy thing with me. Like I can deal with the physical pain, but I already had trust issues and like, I feel like I poured my heart and soul to this person because I thought that this was somebody I looked up to.
That's it.
And I thought you had my back. And it's just like, when you put me in a situation that could have potentially gotten me killed, mm-hmm. like, not only am I physically hurt, I'm in physical pain, mm-hmm. but the emotional pain is so much stronger because I trusted you. Like, you knew my deepest, darkest secrets. Like, when shit hit the fan, you was the one I called. And then you put me in this situation. Yeah. And that's why I say, like, you know, at the beginning of this thing, I say that people always preach in the Bible, too, is money is the root of all evil. Mm-hmm. I don't agree. I think it's the lack of.
It's the people that holds the money.
Exactly. And it's just like, you put me in a situation that you know I did not want to be in. Mm-hmm. And I learned a lot that day. Like, that situation, I'm not saying it directly led me to law enforcement. Like, the situation in my earlier childhood, my dad led me to law enforcement. But at that day and time, I realized, like, this is a lifestyle I do not want to be in because people are turning on you like that.
Yeah.
For money.
For money.
Money. Like, you knew I had 540. You knew I had 540.
Money and female.
Oh, yeah.
Kill a best friend relationship.
Yeah.
I guarantee you, bro. I seen it too many times. This ain't what nobody tell. This is what I witnessed.
Because I was telling
money them. And females will get your best friend to switch out on you.
Cause I was telling him, I was like, look, hey man, drop me up by the house. I'm gonna drop this money out. Oh no, bro, we gonna be right in. Right. I think he had already set me up from the get go.
Yeah.
Cause I mean, I can throw down with the best of them, but I can't fight six. I don't care who you is.
You can't fight four or five.
You can't fight five, six people.
Somebody gonna get you.
Exactly. So I'm in there holding my own, and next thing you go, wah. And so I'm like he picked me up. Like, hey man, I'm like, hey, whoa, we just passed the house. Like, I'll ride with you. I got your back. I'll ride with you. But let me go drop me off. Let me go put my money out. Bro, you know I'm broke. Like, you know, I not work my ass off for this 540.
Yeah.
I'm trying to save up. I mean, I had a little car I wanted to get. It was like $1,000 down, but I would talk to the dude, like, look, hey, bro, I ain't got number five something. He's like, all right, you come get the car. Whatever, we'll work with you. And so that's the thing. Like, you know that's all I had. Like, you know that's all I had. And I trusted you. And then that's why, like, you can't put your trust in everybody.
You can't put your trust in everybody.
You got to watch how you move.
Man, this is a nice conversation.
Yeah, it definitely is. Like I say, man, it started good and it's still ending good. So the next conversation, the topic will be, do you think your ego or pride sometimes gets in our way?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think, especially as a man, and as a black man, too, pride and ego. Like, I think sometimes we get so afraid,
we have so much pride that we don't ask for help. And I'm not saying, like, you know, you got your hand out asking for help, like financial help, but you see somebody in the position that you want to be in, and you know, you like, oh, well, fuck him or whatever, like, oh, whatever. But instead of saying, like, you know, hey, man, look, I see where you going, I see where you at, I see where you came from, you know, guide me in the in a direction. I don't want nothing from you, man. I don't want no money. I don't want nothing. Cause if somebody came to me and said, you know, hey, I want $1,000 to go do this, like, I got less respect for you saying that versus you came to me and like, look, hey, Dylan, look, man, I ain't asking nothing from you. I just want to learn. I just want to learn, because money come and go, but knowledge is a lifetime. So if you say, hey, man, look, I just want to sit down and talk to you and learn, how did you get from point A to point B? I got more respect for you. I'm going to give you more than $1,000 for game. But I think sometimes, like, our ego and our pride gets in the way. And so, like, if I came to you, like, look, hey, man, I want to learn how to cut hair. Or I want to give me $2,000 so I can go take a class, learn how to cut hair. Versus I'm like, look, hey, man, I want to learn how to cut hair. I want to start being an entrepreneur. I can't damn get my dog a haircut. But I come in here and I'll sweep your clothes, I'll clean your window just to watch. Just to give me get my foot in the door, have an opportunity. But I think so many times our pride and our ego gets in the way because we feel like if we're not the head honcho, if we're not the man, we ain't nothing.
Yeah.
And it's so many times in life that people want to be the chief before being the Indian.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you got to be the low man on the totem pole. You just can't walk in and you own the business.
Yeah.
Like, you always want to beat the man that's
exactly.
I don't understand.
I mean, it's like with me with the whole real estate thing. It's a dude I met when I was in the military. Black old dude. He a real old dude. He about 86, 87 years old. And so he put me on a real estate game. It was like, look, hey, man, you gotta learn how to make your money work for you.
Yeah.
Like, he said, if you're making money in your sleep, you're gonna work till the day you die. And I was like, that don't make sense to me. How can I make money if I ain't at work?
Make a lot of sense.
And he started teaching to me or whatever. And it was never a point in time in my life that I was like, I want to have more money than you. Never. I ain't never. I was like, this man is he old. Like, he an OG old. And he's a multimillionaire. So I can pick up the phone today and call him. But look, hey, yada yada yada. Let's talk it up or whatever. But he poured so much into me. That, like, and I never asked for a dime. I was like, look, hey, man, he was in the military, he was a civilian in the military, and I was in the military, I was full time. And on the weekends, I was like, let me just ride with you. I'll pick up trash, I'll sweep, I'll paint. I just want to be in your presence to learn. I don't want nothing. Just teach me.
That's crazy.
And some folks, they don't want to be taught. They just want it, like I said earlier, the microwave, they want it now. Mm. They want it now. Like, I want to walk into your barbershop, and I want you to teach me to be a master barber tomorrow.
Yeah.
It don't work that way.
And it's crazy, you know, I'm glad you brought it up, because this morning, I was 3 minutes late for work. I opened at 9, so I got here like 9:03, and my landlord was outside because they're doing the roof on the building. So I get out the truck, and I'm walking to my door to unlock my door, and my landlord, he's an older white guy. He don't like you to call him mister. He don't like you to text. He wanted to talk to you about anything that's going on with your business. So Bob, shout out to Bob if you see my Facebook. So when I walked in to work, he said, hey, Lewis. I'm like, what's up, Bob? He said, man, come here for a minute. And so I'm walking out like, he said, what's going on? He said, just trying to open the door, man, I'm a little late. He said, man, I really do like you, man. I said, what you mean? He said, every time I see your video, of you whooping that dude up under your
truck.
Yeah. That's what he said. Every time I see your video, you whooping that dude up on your truck. I'm like, that's a hard working young man. He said, man, whatever you need from me, man, I got you. This morning, I couldn't even fathom what the hell he was talking about. But my work ethic to him, paying bills on time, always keeping the parking lot straight, you know, doing what I do. He see that shit, even though he's not here.
Yeah.
Other attendants around me are reporting to him, and he just wanted me to recognize. I mean, it blowed me this morning because he's like, do I really like it? And I only had this shop over like 6 months.
It's crazy because it's crazy, the guy that cuts my hair, he used to work at a barbershop in Spanish Fork, and he's got too much for me to go back and forth to Spanish Fork to get my hair cut when I live right around the corner. So a lot of times people say perception is reality. When I pull up, I don't hear no loud music. Yeah. I don't see nobody outside just being around in the parking lot. It ain't trashy. So you get that perception, like, okay, I'm going to come in and get my hair cut versus this ain't nobody else's business. But I feel like the way you run your business, that's what you work for.
Yeah.
Like, that's your reputation. That's your name. So if I pull up to your barbershop, I'm already a police officer.
Yeah.
I pull up to the barbershop, you got folks shooting craps in the back. You know, you got folks, you know, rolling weed on the table in the main area. Like, I don't care what, run your business how you want to run your business.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like you said, it's that even though he ain't around, he here. Yeah. It's your perception, it's your reputation. And that go in line with anybody. Like, if you can take it to a grade school kid, like, you can be the dumbest kid in the class, but if you're a hard worker, you're trying to learn, and you're respectful, a teacher is going to go out of her way to help you because you got a perception of hard work, yeah, and it's your reputation. If you're saying, you know, putting your pride and ego aside, and that's another thing going back on that. In high school, like, kids, if y'all listen to this, man, being dumb ain't cool.
That ain't cool.
Like people love saying, I don't know. You ain't even trying. Like, yeah, that playing dumb stuff in school, that ain't cool. That ain't cool. I mean, folks, you think everybody ha-ha-he-gin laughing at you in class, thinking you cool. And they call you a dumbass when they get out of class. Yeah, like, man, leave this dumb motherfucker alone. Leave this stupid ass dude. So it's like, playing dumb ain't cool, man. It's just, and it's, if you don't know, you don't know.
Yeah. Like, he brightened my day up today. You know what I'm saying?
And that's why I'm talking about, get my haircut here. Yeah.
And that way, when you came, I like, you said, I was like, man, come on in, get your haircut.
Like, I'm like, I was watching the video, and I was like, anybody that's going outside of their business and whooping somebody, like, they proud of what they got.
They work hard for what they got.
I honestly, bro, I didn't know this barbershop was here.
Yeah.
I knew y'all, they said it's a multicultural barbershop across from the by the library over here in Foley. I'm like, I ain't never had time to stop. And then the video came, I'm like, it's like barbershop owner in Foley. I'm like, we got a black barbershop in Foley? We ain't had one.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking, man, I saw like, man, get your ass in my truck. So I'm like, I gotta come check him out. So that's, I came in, so I get my haircut.
And I really thought that video was going to hurt my business.
I think it helped you, man.
It helped me. Because, yeah, it saved me a whole lot of money for advertising.
Yeah, exactly. I walked out like, man, I need to go find this dude's shot. Because one thing I can't hate, man, I can't stand a thief.
Yeah.
I can't stand a thief. I rather you come to me and be like, look, hey, I'm down on my luck. I need to borrow. You know, don't even say borrow, because sometimes. Yeah.
You're not giving it back.
I think, man, it's folks got the misconception. I had to make a video and put it on my Instagram one time. I was like, I had to open up a dictionary and read borrow.
Yeah.
People know what it is. Like, borrow, you got every anticipation of giving it back. If you ain't gonna pay me back, like, look, hey, man, I need $200. I can't pay it back. Now I ain't looking for it.
Mm-hmm.
But, and that's one thing too. Like, I got somebody. If you watching this, you know who I'm talking about. I got somebody, man, that came and got a vehicle from me. A vehicle.
Ooh.
A vehicle.
Asset.
An asset. It's paid off. You came and got a vehicle from me, a truck. You came and got it in January. You said, hey, I need to borrow your car for a week or two. I'm going to move. Bet. Okay, I got you, bro. Like, here you go. Here go the keys. Borrow my truck. Well, like, my insurance policy says whoever's driving my vehicle's covered. Today is April 21st, and you still ain't brought me my shit. I want my shit back. So, it's like, you say you're going to borrow my truck for 2 weeks. But you got my, and it's not the fact that I need it, I got other vehicles, it's the principle.
Mm-hmm.
It's the principle of the matter. You probably ride around smoking my shit up, you ain't changing the oil. And I had the truck lined up to sell to somebody.
Yeah.
So now when I get that truck back, you drive it, you make it round trips. Cause you using that your work car now. You going from Mobile to Panama City every day.
Mm-hmm.
Every day. That's 360 miles round trip. 180 there, 180 back.
Yeah, that's
wearing my truck out, man. Like, and me being a good person, I'm trying to help you out. I ain't gonna call you. I ain't gonna say no names. But just know if you watch, it's a whole shit.
Yeah, life is a lesson every day you open up, man. I really enjoyed this conversation, man. I mean, I'm glad you reached out to me, and you was on point, man, today, and I really appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
And I hope whoever watching can really understand that only way you can grow your community is come together. Exactly. Stop putting labels and and stipulation on life, man. Life is very simple, man. It's the rules that you play in life, man. If you get a deck of cards that deal to you and you don't like them, fold them and get another hand. Man.
Exactly.
Just don't give up.
Don't give up on that. That's another thing too. It's like people, like your situation, your environment don't define you.
That's it.
It don't define you. Like I hear all people, my dad wasn't around. Oh, my mom. Okay. Fine. I mean, just because, like, I call my uncle dad. He's my uncle. But I call him my dad. He stepped up. He had two other boys, and he taught me how to be a man.
That's it.
Because you had a dad that ain't around, go find you another one.
That's it.
Go find you another one. Like, I mean, I call my uncle. He knows that's my uncle. I call him. Hey, dad, how you doing, man? Like, he because nobody in my life to this point did what that man did for me. Mm-hmm. You know, you was already working. Your wife was working. You know, y'all was barely struggling to make ends meet, and you took me in. That's another mouth feed.
Yeah.
He never complained. He never griped. Whatever. He taught me hard work. And just like that situation in Mobile, like I could have been like, okay, all right, they won.
And you pay homage to them, man.
Yeah.
And that's what people need to realize. You pay homage to where you came from, man. You be genuine to the situation. And I was explaining to someone today, you know, I'm a friend to a lot of people, but I don't know how people are friends to me.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lose myself, because once I find out who I am, I'm self, I'm one like the higher power. Whatever you want to call him, I'm an image of him. So the way I treat people is the way I want to be treated.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to lower my standards. I'm not going to justify nothing just to be friends with you.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you the real me, and if you don't accept it, move on. I tell people all the time, you don't like what I say, delete me. It's a delete button.
Exactly.
Don't come complaining to me.
That's the same thing, man. Like, you chose to click on my video and watch my video. You could have stopped watching it all the way through. And if you got something negative to say, you can comment something negative. We can address it.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to slow my vision for you. Exactly. Like, when you driving a car, you got a fast lane and a slow lane.
Yeah.
If you want to ride in the slow lane, that's on you. Yeah. I got a plan to get to where I'm going. And like I said, people can't go with you, man, because the more baggage that's weighing you down, it could be family, it could be girlfriends, it could be who you think is friends. I tell the kids in high school that I talk to a lot, like, you can look to your left and you can see somebody that's calling themselves your best friend. And then when you graduate high school, when you walk through, at your 10-year reunion or whatever, if you go, you walk through the door and you get a sticker that says, "Hello, my name is." it's true.
Yeah.
Like, so you sitting here trying to... And that's even in high school, that's life now. It's so many people got the misconception of you going out here and buying things you can't afford. You doing things you know you ain't got no business doing to try to impress people that don't mean shit to you. It's like, why I want to go buy a Gucci belt for $600 when I ain't got $600 in my wallet?
Yeah.
And now I'm going to the club buying, like, hey, let me get a bottle of Ciroc. When I can go to the ABC store and get one for $49, $50.
Yeah.
But I'm going to pay $120 in the club to just impress people. Exactly, to make people think I got it. To create that illusion. I just don't understand. I don't get it.
Well, man, like I say, man, it's been a good show today. We're definitely going to end with that because we've had some good topics today, man. We've talked about everything I was going to ask about. So I definitely enjoy the conversation going how it is, man. We definitely want to thank you for coming in, giving your wisdom. And
your comments?
I haven't had too many comments, but we had a lot of people just chiming. And I think today was one of those days where a lot of people were just listening. And I think they were trying to take everything in. I definitely believe this is one of the ones they're going to go back and keep watching.
A lot of content.
It's definitely a lot of content, a lot of gems that were dropped today. And I'm glad for the financial literacy because we'll definitely, I mean, if it's on you, it's on you making sure we try to together.
Yeah.
Definitely on us because we're definitely going to push a financial literacy class, if it's not once a week, once a month, however much time you can give.
I'll make time, man.
Definitely. Make sure you check him out on his Instagram. You can give them that one more time. So
it's ILDeal_theprofit, or you can just search me on Instagram. First name is Dylan, D-I-L-L-E-N. Last name Malone, M-A-L-O-N-E. You can put me in Google. You can find out some stuff about me. I ain't gonna tell you about that. It's just whatever. But you can search me on Instagram, and also too, I'll drop my tag under this Facebook video. Like I said, man, it's me on there talking. I'm giving you a lot of free topics. I ain't charge you for it. I'm not trying to make money off of it. It's just me giving you the information I wish I had a lot earlier.
So we're talking activity center.
Activity center.
Make sure you guys are gonna be out there. We will have some classes, financial literacy by Mr. Dylan coming soon. Continue checking us out on Facebook. Continue checking us out on Instagram, Twitter. Because that's going to be coming quick, and I definitely believe that's going to push us to the next level for our younger generation. Like he said, it's for the young, it's for the old, it's for the married, it's for everybody. So definitely going to be pushing those financial literacy so we can take our community to the next level.
Mentors, man. MCM need mentors. If you want to help your community, give a time. I mean, I don't know how much time you really have scheduled for yourself, but if you can give me an hour out of the week to do something to help the kids grow and become successful mentally, and then they'll be able to accomplish anything in life as long as they have the knowledge, like Mr. Dylan said. The knowledge is the key to success, man. Without the knowledge, man, you will not move that mountain, man. And that mountain can only move because of your mental state of mind. If you don't have the mental state of mind, you will not move anything that comes your way. Exactly. So I am very strong spoken about mentorship, being a big brother or a big sister. If you're trying to get in touch with someone, get in touch with Marcus, he can set that up for you. And you can call me, and I'm going to direct you to Marcus because he is the president of MCM. So anybody that's in the community that want to make a difference in their community and not complain about what's going on in their community, please get in touch with Marcus or hit Mr. Dylan up, man, and we can set some classes up for we can move forward in life and not backward. Break the chain, man. Get rid of tradition. All tradition is not good tradition, bro. So you know what's right and wrong because you have the knowledge from the walk of life that you walk over your years or whatever it is.
Just some different dates that you need to be aware of. April 20th, we got a deadline for our Autism Strong shirts. Definitely we're pushing that right now. You can purchase those. Please contact me or Lewis as well so we can make sure we get an order on. And that's going to be on the 20th of this month, which is past. So if you haven't gotten in, definitely still you can contact us. We'll take it for a few more days. Also, Jamaican Party, April 24th. That's going to be at L&J's Activity Center. Make sure you guys come and check that out. That's going to be a great event. We'll also be having a huge birthday bash at Lillian Park. If it rains on Saturday, my uncle said we're going to push it and we're going to do it on Sunday. So one of those days, if the weather's good, we're going to be out there. If not, we'll be out there Sunday. So definitely check us out there. Definitely. Oh, I'm getting it out. I got everything. On the 1st and the 2nd, we still have Baldwin County Junior ABA AAU Tournament. If you have any teams that are interested in playing, we'll have that tournament the 1st and the 2nd. Right now, we have two gyms, South Baldwin Christian Academy and also Foley High School that will be helping us host those. So we'll definitely be pushing that. May 8th, we'll also have a Baldwin County Junior ABA Basketball Youth Camp at South Baldwin Christian Academy. Definitely push that and definitely get out to the community. Everybody's coming back to the community. And also on May 8th, we'll have a Mother's Day party at L&J's Activity Center. We're definitely looking forward to all the lovely ladies that come out there, all the mothers, just show our support for you, and definitely just want to have a good time on that day. May 9th, we'll have Baldwin County Open Run at SBCA, South Baldwin Christian Academy. May 5th, which is Foley's May Day, we're going to be teaming up and having a crawfish boil fundraiser, so if you're interested in purchasing any orders, definitely contact me so we can get you a ticket for that. On the 22nd, we're going to have a Baldwin County Hoopers 3-on-3 tournament. So if anybody think there's some hoopers, definitely 3-on-3 tournaments going live at South Baldwin Christian Academy. I'll have my second round of ABA Pro tryouts for any of our professional guys that are interested in playing pro basketball. Definitely contact me, and all that is on our website. And then also we have talked to the Lillian community, and they're interested in throwing a Lillian May Day on May 23rd. So that's something we're kind of getting together, and slowly we'll be pushing that. And then also I've talked to Coach TT. It's been a minute. He's kind of booked up the rest of this month, but he said beginning in May, he wants to look on Mondays and Thursdays are his available days to come into the Activity Center. and host his training sessions. So definitely want to definitely shout out to him and continue pushing for him. And also during the summer, we've teamed up with Gulf Coast Athletics. And during the summer, please be looking forward because we'll be having a combine and a fun day that'll be sponsored by MCM and also Gulf Coast Athletics. So definitely be looking out for that. And like you said before, hey, we need volunteers and a lot of volunteers. Anybody willing to give their time. So if you're interested in joining, if you have any kids that need mentoring, if you have any kids that just need a little, you know, guidance, MCM is the one that you need to talk to. So definitely we just want to thank everybody for tuning in again. Like I always say, live, love, and learn because we have a lot of life to live.
And don't forget, man, if you have any ideas or anything that creative with helping the community grow, man, please get in touch with Marcus. We are trying to open the doors to a lot of events or anything that can show the community that's been together. We will conversate about it, put it together, and pretty much make it work if you have a good idea. So MCM is open for any ideas to make the community grow and help our youth, man, for we can give them another way out. It's a hand up, not a hand out.
Yeah.
So always remember that, man. MCM, we signing off. I appreciate y'all. 100% real talk.